with our kids and quizzing, and if it seems out of place to celebrate these quizzers and take that much time in a service, then you don't understand what we're doing here. And this is an investment in lives and destinies, and this is projecting what God is doing to another generation, and that is so absolutely essential. And so I appreciate these that are working so diligently. Sister Tina's off in Guatemala, I hope, with Sister Amber this week, helping her move. But she regrets not being a part of a celebration like this. But we appreciate Tina and all of these coaches that are doing such a wonderful job working with these children, planting the Word of God in their hearts. Praise God. Praise God. And we're so glad to have Brother and Sister Brunet with us. If I was in South Louisiana, I'd say Brunet. So they're from Opelika, and their church family is with them tonight, and we're so glad to have them pastoring there in the Opelika area. So great to have you as guests in the house tonight. And I told them we used to pack everybody up in a van and take them to Atlanta West to show them what a work looks like a little further downstream. And it's essential to have vision. And so we're so delighted to have them tonight. We also are very excited. Brother Prado is not only with us tonight, but he's going to be with us Wednesday night. And so we won't be having our small groups. We won't have the fellowship, the food, and the snacks. We'll just come straight here for worship at 7. We're just going to have a full-blown revival service. Did I say Wednesday? Yeah. It's going to be a dynamic service. People are going to get the Holy Ghost, and lives are going to be changed, and it's just going to be amazing in the house of God. So bring some visitors with you on Wednesday night and say, yeah, on a Wednesday night, God's coming, and fire's going to fall, and good things are going to happen in the house of God. So what a wonderful word in the house this morning, Brother Prado. We love and appreciate you and appreciate your ministry. We're going to be praying for those two churches that you're raising up there in the Bay Area and just praying for your house and your family. We love what God is doing in you. And I want him, as he comes tonight, I want you to just extend your hand and pray for him and pray for Sister Prado and these babies. Would you do that tonight? We love you. We're so glad you're here.
Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's give the Lord Jesus a great big hand clap of praise. Amen. We do covet your prayers, and I really do appreciate all the church. And we feel it when people are praying for us and supporting us and helping us. It is really a huge, huge, huge blessing in the kingdom of God. I am so happy to see all these kids up here getting awards. All I really know about your guys' Bible quizzing program is that like the kids are like in full beast mode and they just like demolish everybody. But that's a good thing. And I read statistics the other day. If you have your Bibles, the book of Revelations, but I read some statistics the other day about kids who stay in church, and the overwhelming majority of kids who make it through their teenage years and into their adult years living for the Lord are involved in Bible quizzing. So there's just really no telling, amen, what most of these kids are going to grow up to be in the Lord. And so your time is being invested, and that is so, so awesome. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Book of Revelation chapter 17. And then we're going to go over to Revelation 21. And we'll begin at verse 6 of chapter 17. The Bible says, "And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. And the angel said unto me, Wherefore didst thou marvel?" Revelation chapter 21 and 9, the Bible says, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had seven vials full of the seven plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show you the bride." Everyone say the bride. "I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife." And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God. In chapter 17, in verse 5, this woman that was drunken with the blood of the saints is described as Babylon. And in 21 and 9, John is looking at the bride, the Lamb's wife. And I want to preach to you tonight on this subject, the bride or Babylon. You choose. The bride or Babylon. You choose. Can you say amen? Father, we thank you for your word, for your presence, for your power. And Jesus, I'm asking you now that you would touch me from the top of my head to the bottom of my feet to minister to your people. They are a wonderful people. And I pray that somehow tonight you would use me to encourage each and everyone here, God, to be part of the bride. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Give Jesus one more good hand clap of praise before you're seated.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Our world is without any doubt in the throes of a very peculiar form of darkness. I would venture to tell you that we are the first generation that is attempting to do something very, very bizarre. And that is to cut ourselves off from our past and from our future. We live in a generation that thinks nothing of revising history, and in some cases, not even acknowledging some parts of history, vital and important parts of history. We live in a generation that has forgotten about our obligation to people who are deceased. In order for a society to function in a healthy way, it must acknowledge its debt to those who are deceased. And not only must it acknowledge its debt to those who are deceased, it must also acknowledge its responsibility to those who are not born. And we are living in a world who thinks nothing of writing off the deceased and thinks nothing of aborting its unborn children. That is a dangerous place to be. It is a very peculiar form of darkness. The problem with this form of darkness and everything that it produces is that, like so many other forms of darkness, it creates the illusion of depth. Not only do the pleasures of this world seem to have no ceiling, they appear to have no flooring either. People feel that there is nothing, amen, to lose. Just go out and have as much fun as you can. Be yourself. Make your own choices. And really, if we were to put it in the Bible's vernacular, be your own God. But as all of us have discovered in one way or another, it's all an illusion. This pleasure of the world definitely has a floor. And when you hit it hard. And not only do the pleasures of sin have a floor, they also have a ceiling. And when you hit that ceiling, the damage borders on the permanent. I've had my good share of time in the world, and I'm going to tell you right now, there's a lot of nights I wish I didn't ever live, and there's a lot of days I wish I was never a part of. Come on, somebody, help me preach. I know we got a lot of folks that have been raised in church, but amen, those of us who haven't, we need to continually be on our feet and amening the preacher when he says that this world is not worth living in. Come on. Come on, I know there was some good parties here and there, and you might have laughed yourself away, but let's remember the tears and the bitterness and the frustrations and the angers and the depressions, and let's remember just how good God is, and let's show it in our hand clapping, let's show it in our singing, let's show it in our preaching, let's show it in our dancing. The Apostle John was shown in the vision that we just read, this world in its last days. The Bible calls it the Babylon, the woman, the whore. Amen. And he confesses that he was left astonished and in admiration by her. I can hardly think of a godlier man than John. Repeatedly, the scriptures refer to him as the apostle who loved the Lord. And yet, in spite of this love and keen spiritual insight that he had towards God, he marveled at the appearance of this wicked world. A few chapters later, the angel of the Lord takes him up a little higher. And in the spirit, he shows him something more beautiful than Babylon. That something was the bride of Christ. I want to preach to you tonight that no matter how beautiful Babylon looks, her beauty is nothing to be compared with the bride. Her beauty is nothing to be compared with what the Bible so affectionately calls the Lamb's wife. I'm telling you right now, you can go from one end of Alabama to the other and you ain't gonna find a place like the church. I'm telling you right now, you can make all the money in the world and you ain't gonna find a place with greater riches, with greater blessings, with Hallelujah. I know they're making some good music out there, but there's nothing like the song of the redeemed. Hallelujah. I know they're having some Super Bowl parties out there and some championship playoffs, but brother, there's nothing like being in the house of God on a Sunday morning and a Sunday night. There's nothing like being in the house of God on a Wednesday night. There's nothing like watching God open the doors to a new sanctuary that's going to house the life-changing power of the bride. I don't know about you, but I don't think I'm alone tonight when I say that I'm glad to be a part of the bride. I'm so glad that I've been pulled out from the clutches of the Babylon, amen, and put in the bride's hands. I'm so glad that God took me out of Babylon and the belly of the beast and brought me into the bride. Hallelujah. I don't care what the world says. I don't care what doubting Christians say. The bride's future is bright. Amen. The bride's future is revival. The bride will see the Lamb.
Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, come on. Oh, are you glad to be in the bride tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Give Jesus a great big hand praise. Oh, if you're glad you're in the bride, if you're glad you were taken out of Babylon. Oh, Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on. I feel the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Moving in this house right now. I feel like somebody can be healed right now. There's healing in the bride. Hallelujah. There's salvation in the bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's forgiveness of sins in the bride. Amen. Hallelujah. You can get the blemishes and the blots of your soul removed in the bride.
Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. 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 You can't, this world does not compare with the church. Nothing outside the church, amen, is really worth living. The Bible tells us that the Apostle Paul had an assistant, a colleague, by the name of Demas, who forsook him. He walked out on Paul. He left the mission field. He left the work of God. And no doubt for Paul, at first, this seemed like a complicated situation. No doubt he cried. No doubt he wept. No doubt he scratched his head many nights. But somewhere in it all, Paul gained a little bit deeper insight into the life of Demas. And he goes on to say, amen, in spite of all the possible reasons and explanations that Demas forsook him, he comes to this one final conclusion. And he says, Demas has forsaken me, loving this present world. Demas chose Babylon over the bride. And let me tell you, he got the short end of the deal. He got the short end of the stick. He got duped. He got hoodwinked. He got took. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I will never trade in this bride for Babylon. Amen. The pleasures of this world, this present world, there's nothing going on right now out there that can compare to what's going on in here. There's nothing going on in this world
that can compare to the altar calls, hallelujah, that we experience here on a church night. Amen. The world doesn't offer liberty like the church offers liberty. The world doesn't offer peace like the world, like the church offers peace. There's nothing that compares to the bride. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Oh, hallelujah. I'm just going to be honest with you. I was not going to preach this. I was going to preach something totally different. Amen. But God kept pressing me and pressing me and pressing me and saying, preach this. And I'll tell you why I suspect I'm preaching this tonight. Amen. I am preaching this tonight because there are some people you got to make up in your mind. I'm going in the bride. I'm coming out of Babylon. I'm tired of just being a Sunday saint. I'm tired of just coming once in a while. I'm tired of just showing up. Amen. Hallelujah. Because I feel like my friends are pressuring me to come. I'm fixing to come on my own from this day forward. I'm fixing to be a part of this bride. I'm fixing to be a part of this revival. I'm fixing to be a part of this church. I ain't looking for a date. I'm looking to commit to Jesus. I'm looking to be here wholeheartedly. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on, come on. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I want to talk to you a little bit about marriage right now while we're on the subject of the bride, because I think so much of it applies, amen, to what we're preaching here. There are several different kinds of mindsets when we talk about marriage and people in marriages and people looking to get married. The first is the rational mindset. Amen. The rational mindset are people that believe in marriage, but they know it's going to be hard work. There are people that look at marriages and say, you know what, that looks really nice, but I could tell it's a lot of work. And you know what, marriage is a lot of work. Hallelujah, it is for me, I know. Well, let me just say this. If you're about to get married, or if you are married, the best thing you could ever get into your head, amen, is that a good marriage doesn't happen on accident. Amen. And the best thing, see, if you're not careful, you'll let the devil trick you and make you think that everybody got a good marriage but you. Amen. No. Marriage is hard work. You got to work at it. Hallelujah. You got to work at being in the bride. You got to work at staying married to the church. You got to work at being committed to church. You got to make decisions. No, I'm not going there. I'm going to church. I'm just gonna keep it real with you. Amen. It's not always a rational thing to show up to church. And what we do in here is not always rational. It's not always 1 + 1 = 2. Sometimes God says, push this button right here, and that door over there is gonna open. Sometimes God will say, get up here in this front, and you start dancing, and by the time you walk out the back, your life's gonna be changed. There's times when God's gonna tell you, I want you to go up to that man right there and tell him, I want to get baptized just like those people in that room, and your life is going to change. It may not make sense. Amen. What sense? How rational is it that a little bit of water might change your life? Brother, I'm telling you, if you ain't never been baptized, you ought to give it a try. Don't get rational about it. Hallelujah. Get ready to do it. Amen. Come on, get in the bride. Get in. Hallelujah. I'm just going to be honest with you. Hallelujah. There, when I came to church, amen, and I was offered an invitation to be part of the bride, amen, I started rationalizing a lot of things away, amen. But you're looking at somebody who was a drug addict, depressed, suicidal, amen, and I had tried the rational approach. I had gone to the therapist. I had gone to the psychologist, and we rationally, amen, mapped out my life, and we rationally, amen, detected what the problems were. The sad thing is at the end, there really was no answer. At the end, amen, all they could do was look at a busted teenager and say, you're busted, you're broken, hallelujah, but there really wasn't a lot of help. And when I came into the bride, I remember them telling me, all you got to do is get up to this altar and confess your sins, amen, and your life's going to change. I feel I feel a nasty little spirit of doubt trying to get a hold of somebody right now. I'm telling you right now, we're repentance still works. Amen. You get on up here and God will deliver you from alcoholism in just a matter of seconds. I've been in church way too long and you've come way too late to tell me that God doesn't liberate drug addicts, that God don't liberate depressed, suicidal folk. I'm telling you, he does it. He does it on Sunday nights. He does it on Wednesday nights. He does it in prayer. Oh, come on, somebody. Oh, come on, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. The rational mindset. The worst part of the rational mindset is this. The rational mindset says, not only is marriage hard, but I've seen so many marriages fail. That I'm just going to wait to get married much later. And in some cases, they don't get married at all. Hallelujah. The rational mindset says, I've seen a lot of folks try to be Christian. You know, my Uncle John, he was the bishop down at so-and-so church, and he was a hypocrite. Well, let me tell you, if Uncle John was fake, that don't make Jesus fake. Oh, come on. You better help me preach. I'm not going to let somebody with a duplicitous life. You know what? Let me tell you something actually that a lot of people never stop and think about. If Uncle John was a hypocrite, if Uncle John did live a duplicitous life, amen, it ought to tell you something about the real power of the church, because Uncle John, with all his hypocrisy and duplicity, kept coming into the church. You want to know why? Because he knew he was a fake and he knew he needed to be saved. And even Uncle John, with all his phony fakeness, knew that his best chance of being saved was in the church. God help us to realize how... Hypocrites don't invalidate the church, and people with problems in the church don't invalidate the church. And the fact that there might be a few crazy people scattered throughout the congregation don't invalidate the gospel. They prove the gospel's true. Come on, you ain't having revival if there ain't a few crazy folks around. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, you ought to thank God that there's troubled people sitting in these pews, because you can bet your bottom dollar they've tried it all, and they've come to the bride, and they found out Babylon ain't got no answer. Oh, Jesus. Oh, come on, somebody give Jesus a hand praise. Help the preacher preach. Come on, help the preacher preach. Oh, come on. Come on, new life. I feel like the Holy Ghost is about to thunder in this house right now. Oh, somebody shout yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Then there is the romantic. Oh, the romantic. Hallelujah. The romantic approach has the attitude of wanting to write this incredible love story because nobody's ever experienced this kind of love before on planet Earth. The romantic, amen, likes to use words like soulmate, amen, and the lover of my life. Hallelujah. The romantic, hallelujah, has a problem, however, when things are not hunky-dory and when things are not lovely. The romantic leaves. In fact, this mindset, amen, the romantic mindset about marriage actually produces the highest rates of divorce. The romantic says this was supposed to be Prince Charming. And he's not so charming now. And there's a lot of dents in that armor. And I'm out of here. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you live for God, problems don't just disappear. In fact, I like to tell most people right before I baptize them, now I want you to know, after I put you down in this water, it's very likely that all hell's going to break out. It's getting quiet on me, hallelujah. I like to let people know, you know what? You are going against the grain by serving Jesus. And I let people know, hell don't like it. Amen. All kinds of relatives may not like it. Amen. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be a struggle. There's going to be a lot of good times and bad times. There's going to be tears and dancing. Life is going to be more colorful than it's ever been. But I want you to know that greater is he that is inside of you than he that is in the world. And the Jesus you're about to get your... the Jesus that's about to inhabit your soul has overcome this world, and he's willing to give you that victory. He's willing to give you the power. He's willing to give you the blessings. He's willing to give... Come on. I don't know, maybe I'm preaching to somebody right now that the church is not lined up to your romantic ideals. Maybe you're not feeling as many goosebumps as you used to. Well, honey, I'm telling you, there's something better than goosebumps. There is what the Bible calls a sure word of prophecy. And sometimes you got to just walk on that word. Sometimes you got to just quote scriptures like you were in the Bible quizzing team. Hallelujah. And that's how you're going to make it through life. When you don't feel nothing, you got to pick up that word and look at it and say, I'm in a marriage contract, and the contract says this, and the I'm not God's girlfriend. I'm not God's side chick. I'm part of the bride. I'm not just his bae. I'm his bride. And I'm somebody help me preach. Come on, come on, come on. You know what Jesus said? Jesus said, my burden is easy and my yoke is light. You know why the burden is easy? Because he gets under the load with you. Well, I'll tell you why the burden's easy. Because first of all, when Christ comes into your life, he will wake you up. You will get woke. That you are carrying all kinds of junk you shouldn't be carrying in the first place. Oh yeah, he'll let you know you need to let go of this and let go of that, and that's just killing you, and that's just stressing you out, and we just need to cut that. And then on top of that, whatever you got left that's still holding you down, he'll tell you, scoot over. I'm going to get under this with you, and I'm going to carry this with you. We're going to be yoked together. You're part of my bride, and I'm going to help you through this. Come on. I'm going to carry cancer with you. I'm going to carry a divorce with you. I'm going to carry crazy kids with you. I'm going to carry unemployment with you. I'm going to carry depression with you. I'm going to carry diabetes with you. You and me are going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and we're going to get through this, and not this world and not hell is going to stop. Jesus. Come on, do you want to be part of the bride? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. There is the restless mindset. The restless mindset. You know, these are the kinds of people that always want to party. They avoid marriage because they just think there's other fish in the sea. They want to sow their wild oats. Hey, I got news for you. There are other fish in the sea, but they might be sharks. That'll preach. That's another message. Come back Wednesday. We preach about the sharks. But you know, the restless mindset always feels that, you know, there's just, it's not time yet. It's not time yet. There's just something else going on. They want to have a blast. They're just thinking, for them, marriage, amen, is the last thing on their list of considerations. You got to get rid of the restlessness. I'm going to slow down here just for 1 second, because I want to be very honest and transparent with you. I lived a restless life my whole life. And it is no coincidence that Jesus says, come unto me, all ye that are burdened and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. One of the first things Jesus wants to do is pull you out from the restlessness. I was one of those people that it didn't matter how good a job was going, I wanted to switch jobs after about 6 months. I was one of those people, it didn't matter how good a friendship or a relationship was going, I wanted out of it after 6 months. I was one of those people, it didn't matter how nice of a place God blessed me with, I wanted out after a little while. I was restless. And when I came to church, all that didn't change. God had to work that out of me. When I got into the bride, God said, that's not going to keep this marriage going. That's not going to keep this union going. You're going to have to get all the other options out of your mind. You're going to have to get plan B, C, D, E, F, and G out the picture. It's got to be you, and it's got to be me, and it's got to be from here to eternity. You can't just... You got to quit wanting to move all the time. You got to quit wanting to switch all the time. You got to quit wondering if there's a better church all the time. You got to quit wondering if there's a better preacher all the time. You got to get in and stay in. You got to get rid of that restlessness. Amen. And start building a life. You got to get out of all. Oh, come on. I'm preaching way better than some people respond. You can say amen and oh me. Hallelujah. But there comes a point in somebody's life. I'm preaching to some restless people right now. There's going to come a point when you're just going to have to buckle down and say, I'm not going to just keep jumping from church to church till they give me the position I want. Whether I get a position or not, I'm going to pray. I'm going to be faithful. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on. You got to. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. I'm preaching to a restless man right now. I'm preaching to a restless man that you are already talking to your wife about, maybe we should go somewhere else. Let's just go visit somewhere else. And your wife is being mighty kind to you. Amen, but I'm not going to be so kind. Your wife is probably just thinking in her mind, again? Hey, guess what? Wherever you go, you know who's going, you. Come on, at some point we got to wake up and realize, you know what, I got a restless spirit on me, and it's time that I get some rest on me. Come on, I've been doing this my whole life, amen, going from job to job, woman to woman, amen, situation to situation, church to church. I've taken this attitude over into the bride, and this is why I'm such a fickle Christian. This is why nobody can depend on me. Hallelujah, this is, amen, I'm nothing more than a flash in the pan. Hallelujah, I just, yeah, I might get it going the first few months, but then I just fizzle out and burn out. Hallelujah. That's not the will of God for your life. You're going to have to get past that phase in your life. And the only way to do it is just to stick it out. When you feel like running, do the exact opposite of what your feet want to do and plant yourself in the church and commit your... Come on. I'm going to need your help because I'm about to preach some stuff that somebody may not like in a few seconds. You want to know the truth? Whenever I start feeling a fickle feeling about anything in God, you know what I do? I start throwing money at it. Yeah, I thought it'd get quiet. Hallelujah. Because you know what? Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And when I feel like my heart's saying that way, I'm going to come drop something in the offering. And I'm going to give, not till it hurts, but till it feels good. Because I'm telling you, you ain't so quick to get up and run of places where you've put your treasure. I start putting my treasure there. Not only will I put my money there, I'll put my time there. I'll start showing up to the church, whether somebody's there or not, to pray, to clean. Amen. You're looking at a preacher that still scrubs toilet, and I'm proud of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Because it's keeping me there. It's keeping me plugged in. It's making me a soul. It's making me a productive. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. I get excited about vacuuming the church and sweeping the church. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, I've had me some mighty prayer meetings. Hallelujah. Dropping my treasure. Hallelujah. In my church. I'm not going to let anybody take me out of this bride. I've been in Babylon. There ain't nothing there. I've been in Babylon. It's just a bloody mess. Amen. Jesus. Come on, somebody. Get out of the restlessness and get into the rest. It might not come as a surprise to anybody, but you know which mindsets have the longest lasting marriages? The resolute mindset. The resolute mindset says, now, hallelujah, this marriage is for life and this marriage is for me. Divorce is not even in my vocabulary. Don't talk about it. Don't think about it. Don't crack jokes about it. The resolute mindset says, I can't even imagine being married to somebody else. The resolute mindset says, marriage is a part of my life plan. That's the mindset that makes it in a church as well. That's the mindset that stays in the bride as well. The mindset that says, Jesus Christ is a part of my life plan. No, better yet, Jesus Christ is the center of my life plan. I cannot think of a life without Jesus. I cannot think of a life. The resolute mindset says, I don't even talk about backsliding. I don't even entertain the thought about backsliding. I don't joke about backsliding. We don't talk about it in my house. Oh, come on, somebody. Come on. All for about 10 seconds. I want us to magnify God. I feel like there's going to be a resolute mindset that's about to settle in on some people. And I don't know about you, but if I was sitting in the pew right now, I'd be wanting to be one of those people that God crowns with a resolute mindset, with a mindset that cannot even imagine, amen, not having a pew to sit in, that can't even imagine living a life without a Bible, that can't even imagine a life without a pastor, without a Bible study, without a preacher, that can't even imagine a life. Oh, come on, somebody. Jesus. Come on, new life. Come on. Let's lift our hands right now and pray. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come on. You young people, you're not too young to have a resolute mindset. You are never too young, amen, to just close your eyes and imagine yourself a gray-haired saint, hallelujah, surrounded by grandkids, hallelujah, in the house of God, in the bride, hallelujah. You're never too young, hallelujah, to make life decisions. You're never too young to say, you know what, my whole life, amen, I'm going to spend in the house of God, in his temple, hallelujah, praising his name, hallelujah. Oh, come on. Come on, there's something settling in on this house right now. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Oh, come on, let's pray. Let's be sensitive to the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You know, my brother-in-law, he's there with me in Alameda where we pastor. He told me, he said, you know what? He said, the other day, man, he said, I had a dream. It was really weird. He said, I had this dream that, like, I was walking around. I started getting, like, attacked by snakes, by a lot of snakes. He said, and I kept trying to. He said, every time a snake would bite me, he said, I'd take out my phone and take a picture of it. He said, because I wanted to Google it to see if it was venomous. He said, and I kept trying to do that, but eventually I was getting bit by more snakes than I could take pictures of. He said, there's just more snakes than there was time to Google. He said, it was just the weirdest dream. He said, what do you think it meant? I said, I'll tell you what it meant. It's not the bite that kills you. It's the venom. Because you can get bit by a snake that's not venomous. You ain't going to die. You don't even need to take a picture and Google it. But now if you get bit by a venomous snake, you're in trouble. Why are you preaching that, Brother Prado? I'll tell you why I'm preaching that. Because there's people here, you got a snake bite. And it's venomous. And it's affecting your relationship with the bride.
Come on.
You got bit somewhere, and it's distorted your perception of preachers. I'm still preaching good. You got bit somewhere, and it's distorted your perception of men. You got bit somewhere, and it's distorted your perception of people that aren't your color, that aren't your race, that aren't your background, that aren't your age. You got bit somewhere, and it's distorted your perception about giving money. Don't get quiet on me now. Hey, I got news for you. God tells all of us to give 10%. That is our tithe. And you know what? God's going to get his tithe either way. You can either give it or give it to the dentist. You can either give it or give it to the mechanic. He's going to get it anyways. You can go ahead and act funny and be a tipper, but God's going to get it anyway. You know what? I'm telling you, I've gone through life only to find out a little too late. Man, that bite was venomous. I've gone through life and known a little too late. Man, that bite I got a few years ago, that stuff had some venom in it. And you know how I know? Because I come to church cynical. You know, the problem with cynicism is you make a joke about everything. And if you can make a joke about everything, then you take nothing serious. And I got news for you. Everything's not funny.
Come on.
Oh, but I remember where the Bible says, Jesus speaking, comparing himself, amen, to the serpent that Moses raised up. He said, if I be lifted up, he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And he's relating himself back to the serpent that Moses raised up in the wilderness. And the people all came near that serpent. And when they looked on it, the serpents that had bit them and left venom in their veins, amen, they were healed. I'm telling you right now, if you'll just lift Jesus up, the venom will leave your veins. If you'll just get your mind and your eyes off what people have done, if you'll just get your mind and your eyes off the past. If you can just get your mind off the past, I'm telling you right now, God will take the venom out of your spirit, and you'll find yourself not just being a giver, but a cheerful giver. You'll find yourself being able to. You'll find yourself on a way to a happy marriage. You'll find yourself having friends you never thought you would have. You'll find yourself living a life and a life more abundantly. Oh, come on. You need to help me preach. I'm not trying to chew you out. I'm not trying to be hard on you. Amen. I'm excited about your future in Jesus Christ. But we got to get aggressive about the things that God has for us and say, I'm tired of Babylon. I'm tired of its fiery serpents. I want the bride. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Musicians, we got musicians. Let's give them hope.
Have your way, God. Have your way.
I'm done preaching. I don't have a pretty poem. I'm not going to try to get you to cry with some story about somebody's puppy getting run over. You know what God wants? You know what God really wants? A willing heart. A heart that says, God, forgive me. I came with leaving on my mind. God, forgive me. I've been unfaithful. You know what the remedy is to our unfaithfulness? God's faithfulness. And that's just not semantics and plays with words. You know what? God is ready. God is ready to renew the vows. To renew the relationship. Divorce is not in God's vocabulary. He hates it. God says, I don't want to break up. Yeah, you've been running around on me, but I'm still interested in you. Yeah, you left on me 2 years in a row, but I still want you. Oh, Jesus. God says, I don't want to put you away or give you a bill of divorcement. I want you to come home. Jesus. Come on, let's bounce. Come on. Come on. Come on, church. Come on, saint. Come on, backslider. Come on, visitor. Come on. Come on, God's talking to you. God's talking to us. Come on, musicians. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That. Come on, hallelujah. There's a beautiful spirit of the Lord here right now. Come of your own volition. Come of your own will. You choose. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I believe you.
You are.
You're more than enough for me.
Jesus, you are.
Jesus, you're all I need. I believe you're my healer.
I believe
you are all I need.
Jesus, you are.
Jesus,
your life.